In our mini series, we have this question and this commitment: I will you worship with others? In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says that they, the disciples, they worshiped together at the temple. They came to public corporate worship. Is that important? I want to read a few things that I read a long time ago, and maybe you've heard it before, but it probably is a good reminder. In Servant magazine in 1989, a pastor, there's a report, this story, a pastor meets a lady in the supermarket. You know, these things happen when we pastors go shopping. So this lady ran up to him and shook her finger at him and says, "I left your church. I left your church." So the pastor just simply said, "Well, if it's my church, that was probably a wise idea to leave it. If it's my church, I think I'm going to leave it too." And that's true. We pastors don't own churches. They're not our churches. Did you know that? It's time that we realize that. It's not my church. The lady said this: "Don't you want to know why I left your church?" The pastor says, "Not really, but I think I'm going to find out anyway." She simply said this: "You were not meeting my needs." So the pastor answered, "I don't remember ever seeing you before, let alone talking to you, let alone knowing your needs. Did you ever tell anyone in particular what your needs were?" She had forgotten that. She had never told anyone in the church what her needs were. She couldn't recall any, and the pastor raised another question. Pastor said, "Can you tell me, if we have so many people in the church with your attitude, how anyone's needs could ever be met?" It's a good question, right? See, when we stop sitting in the pews saying, "They're not meeting all my needs," we should start saying, "How can I meet someone's needs today?" Isn't that a lot better? I know there's this song, "Standing on the Promises," and some people, they have misinterpreted that song. They're sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises. You get that? Loved ones, if we have a servant spirit in the church, and I believe there is a servant spirit in this congregation, I've been bragging about you guys a lot, and now I don't want to over-brag because I may be disappointed, so maybe I need to hold off on that, but we have a servant spirit. If a servant spirit flourishes in the congregation, then we minister to each other's needs. Because we have a servant attitude. What we need to hear is that God's people love the church. Are you known for that? Do others, do people at work, do others know you as a person that loves the church? My brother-in-law is here today, Rudy Thiessen. When we first came to Canada, they had evangelistic services in the Church of God in the old location. And my oldest brother, he didn't like church that much at that time. And he said, "Rudy is nailed to the church pew." He used that. That was his reputation. Rudy was always in church. And now looking back, I love that. And that helped me as a young man to want to come to church too. I thought, if it's so important to him, there must be something there that attracts him. And maybe I need that too. There's a story in a Nashville newspaper many years ago. Nashville, Tennessee newspaper. About a Mrs. Lila Craig, an old lady that had not missed church in 1,040 Sundays. That means 20 years. Although she was in her 80s, she had never missed church, not a single Sunday. So the editor wrote, "It makes one wonder, what is the matter with Mrs. Craig? Doesn't it ever rain or snow in her town on Sundays? Doesn't she ever have unexpected company? How is it that she never goes anywhere Saturday night and so that she is too tired and to attend a worship service in the morning? Doesn't she ever beg off to attend picnics or family reunions or have headaches or colds or nervous spells or tired feelings? Doesn't she ever oversleep or need time to read her Sunday newspaper? Hasn't she ever become angry at the minister or had her feelings hurt by someone and felt justified in staying home to hear a good sermon on radio or TV?" So the question at the end was, what's the matter with Mrs. Craig? And we say there was nothing the matter with her. It was normal. She loved the church. Jesus loved being there. Now I remember this one old granny said, "Bring me to the church one more time because that's when I can sleep the best." She couldn't sleep at home. By all means, come to church. If you can sleep better at church or in church, by all means, come. There was a farmer lived in a farm town, and they went. You know, farm churches are usually different than others, and Brother Helmut will testify to that. They have a unique character. But anyway, this farmer had never missed a church service. So this Sunday, the church members tried to call him, but they received no answer. They were waiting for him, and they wondered, why didn't he show up? That's not normal. You see, this is so wonderful. If we're not in church, that should not be normal. And so the church, his friends at church, they said, "This is not normal for our brother not to be here. Something must have happened." So they sent some guys to the farm, and sure enough, he was pinned under equipment, and they saved his life. And guess what? The church saved his life. Because he was missed at church, and it was not normal for him not to be in church. It saved his life. I will worship with others. I will not worship alone by myself, but I will worship with others. Is that your resolution? Why should we worship together? You see, in the book of Acts, they worship together at the temple. These are over 3,000 people. They worship together. You know, the Book of Acts assemblies were mostly prayer and testimony meetings. And sure, the apostles, they preached the word. But the preaching was mostly geared towards those that were outside. But then came the teaching and the prayer and the testimonies. as a recognition and response to the magnificence of Christ, we gather together to glorify this Christ. Because of our understanding of the grace that is found solely in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we come together to share in that gospel, in that peace, in that joy, and we worship together. We embrace the truths to the practical of daily living that is so imperative in our relationship with God. True worship always manifests itself in experience with all believers. The experience is made together. And we call that going to church. The Apostle Peter preached a sermon at Pentecost. The Jerusalem church began gathering for corporate worship. We read already, they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They even celebrated communion. They had small groups, house groups that met, and they ate their food with gladness and with simplicity of heart. You know that is very healthy for your body if you eat your food with gladness? Really healthy. I mean, it may be even a hamburger, but it's still healthy if you eat with gladness. And simplicity of heart. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, they had an attitude, I tell you. They had this joyful attitude. We will look at that in a little bit. There are several things here. They devoted themselves to this practice. They said, I will not miss the assembling together. Now, at that time, they met every day. But later on, we realized that they met on the first day of the week. That was their regular service. And that's what the Bible tells us. The Bible never tells us how many times we should have church. But as often as we have church, we should worship the Lord. So they did not come together and check off a legalistic list. Okay, yesterday I was in church, today I was in church, tomorrow I'll go too if it doesn't rain, and the day after I may go if I am not invited to a birthday party. They didn't do that. It says they devoted themselves. It means they were moved. Their motive was passion of heart. Devotion, devoted themselves means, of course I'll be there. Of course I will worship with my brothers and sisters. I want to. Nobody forces me. And this is the beautiful thing with Christian worship. It's corporate, but it's all out of our own free will from the heart. So they devoted themselves to that. They were joyful, the Bible says here, because their focus was on God. They did not go to a worship experience. Listen carefully here. The Jerusalem church did not gather together to have a great worship experience. They came together to experience God in their corporate worship service. Now, there's a difference there. We can go home today and say, oh, I had a great worship experience. No. We need to experience God personally in the worship service. Connect with God individually, but as we are together. And they had very humble attitudes. That means they put others before themselves. They didn't come with a selfish attitude. They were not there to complain about worship style or music or their preference Oh, Peter has preached way too long today, and this was so boring, and he was really harsh. I mean, he really gave it to those Pharisees, and look, they're going to come after us. If he continues to preach like this, they're going to come after all of us, and then all of us, we're going to be in trouble, and he shouldn't preach that way. You see, they didn't come with that attitude. That was all not there. They were there in humility before God and others. And this is what was so important, because Peter and the apostles, they had one motto. You must obey God before man. God above everything. We come together to glorify God. We come together to experience God in our services. Nothing else. Nothing else matters that much. And that's important. And then the results were that people had favor with them. They had favor with the outside, with the many unbelievers. And then it says in verse 47, every day the Lord added to them those that were being saved. And I long for those times again, when on a daily basis, new believers come into God's kingdom. So what about us? Do we commit to corporate worship and church attendance? The biblical model and example of worship is very different from what is practiced often nowadays in our churches. We should never go to church to get our self-centered needs met. Instead, we go to worship the one true God as we serve alongside each other. What about our conscience when we stop attending or miss many worship services? Does our conscience ever bother us? Say, you know, today I kind of disappointed my fellow believers that I wasn't in church. Well, and then we have this attitude, well, they probably didn't miss me anyway, right? The bad attitude, not good. If we're not in church, the number one person that will miss us is God. Does it ever bother you when you become careless? Or you come up with all kinds of excuses? Are you trying to sometimes silence your conscience? And you know, well, I should be there, but you're not corporately worshiping. And you know, we can train our conscience any way we want to. We can train our conscience that, you know, once in a while is enough. Like many, many practice twice a year. At Christmas and Easter, people come to church, and the rest, they think they have done their service to God. Bad idea. Who made that up? Who invented that? Well, you know, we say, well, we don't want to make people feel guilty to come to church or not. And it shouldn't bother people if they miss church for various reasons. It should bother them. It should bother us if we're not in a worship service. It should bother us. We should really feel bad if we're not in church. And for many people that are habitually not coming to church, for them, I really pray and hope and wish that they are feeling really bad that they're not in church. You say, Pastor, how can you say that? Because it's not good for them. It's very important that we are not focused on being religious, but focused on real worship. When we call ourselves Christian, and at the same time we don't want or have any desire to corporately worship and praying together with other believers, something is wrong. And I pray for a revival that those that call themselves Christian, that they would be really walking in faith and be the New Testament church. My question always is this. I try to put myself in someone else's place that thinks, well, I don't need all this church stuff. I'm above that. My question is, are you better than others? Are you better than these loyal church attendees? Do we have some kind of special exemption from God that, God understands that those people in the church, I mean, they're not quite good enough for me, and I'm okay without that. Do we have an exemption from God that we don't need that and we can still be okay with God? How is that? Maybe we think, well, the congregation is just not good enough. They're not spiritual enough. They're not impressive enough for me. They don't have the right music. They don't have the right type of preaching. It's just not my thing. We need to move from excuses to joyful commitment. And that's what the first church did. For them, worship was not optional. Do you get that? Worship was not optional. It wasn't, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't. It was obvious. It was a commitment. I will be there. Because I don't want to miss the Holy Spirit moving. I don't know what's going to happen. Something could happen in church today, and I would miss it. What if the Lord comes today and we're not in church? In many churches, they have to beg people to attend worship service. And many have excusable conflicts. Well, you know, we woke up this morning and we realized that we had tickets to a ball game, and it was going to be too late by the time we get out of church, and so, sorry, we couldn't do it. Or we had to take extra time at the lake, or we had a lack of sleep. We had so much stress this week, so we just wanted to, like someone told me once, I just felt tuckered out on Sunday morning, I couldn't come. I said before, come and sleep in the church, fine. I won't chase you out. I won't even confront you. No. We make it easy. For many Christians, all other activities are mandatory except church. Am I right, or is that true? Maybe both. All other activities are mandatory. We have to do this, we have to do that. And we make our lives so busy and so full, our schedule is so full, that if we have 1 hour a week, we get together, oh boy, I really made it. I actually made it to church for 1 hour this week. See, God has a desire for us to corporately worship him. In John chapter 4, Jesus talks with the Samaritan woman. Now, Jesus knew this woman's story, and she was really amazed that he had such knowledge about her. And actually, instead of being offended, she was actually really surprised, and something moved in her heart where she felt that this must be the Messiah, because he really has a prophetic gift, that he knows what I did because I've never met him before. And at that time, there was no Twitter, there was no Facebook, there was no social media that Jesus could have looked up her profile and know what she was up to. But he knew it anyway. So he told her, as she began to talk about worship. Remember that story in John chapter 4? The Samaritan woman says that you Jews think that only in Jerusalem, only the temple you can worship. You have your worship services, but I am not allowed to be there. I am excluded from that. So we're kind of on our own because the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. And this is what Jesus says. The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Now listen to this. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. The Father is seeking you and me to worship together in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is the mandate from God. Jesus himself told us this. It never says that's optional for believers. Well, if you don't want to worship God, you don't have to. This is why I would like to ask you today, will you make a commitment with me? I will worship the Lord together with others. I will pray together with others. I will be where God's people are. The problem in today's time, in today's society, is that we live in a time of the preference-driven church. Certain people prefer this, and they prefer this, and they have the likes and dislikes. But all of that falls away if our focus is, I come to worship God because the Father wants me to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the primary reason and goal. Not that our needs should not be met in the church that we attend. Don't get me wrong. We should come and really pray that God would meet our needs when we attend church. But if we focus on God alone in worship and prayer, I believe that as we pray together, as we focus on the Lord and all that he has for us, and we believe his promises and we become joyful worshipers, then all our needs can and will be met by God and through God's people. Maybe I said too much, but I really believe that. So it's time to say, I will come to corporate worship services. The definition of corporate is that we come together as believers, that we are in an open assembly where anyone and everyone is welcome. And they can come to worship God and experience God. It is dangerous to worship our own opinions or interpretations of the gospel. If that comes in the way that I have such a strong opinion about something in the Bible that it hinders me from worshiping others, then we need to bring that before the Lord and say, Lord, what about this opinion? Because I believe that we live in a time where people honor their religion and their opinions about the Bible more than honoring God. And that's dangerous. I want to come to a close now. How should we come to church? What attitudes should we have? There's a lot of scriptures, even the Old Testament. Watch when you walk into the house of God. Remember in Ecclesiastes? One thing that we need to do is, first of all, this determination, I will come and worship. Secondly, I will pray before each service. Isn't it interesting how busy we are before a worship service? How distracted we often are, that we can't really pray I don't want to do a survey here because I don't want to embarrass anyone, but how many of us have actually prayed this morning to be richly blessed in the worship service? How many of us have actually prayed this morning, Lord, anoint us today as we worship together and be in our midst and let your word go forth and let there be anointing in the preaching and speak to my heart? How many of us have done that? That is important, a preparation for the worship. Praying before each worship service, often, especially for young families, it can be a battle. And I think sometimes Satan has something to do with it, that he provokes little kids to be really cranky Sunday morning. And families have conflicts, and you come to church, and you're finally here, and you're all exhausted and emotionally all troubled. Pray that God would take away these distractions. Will you pray with me every time we come to a worship service that we pray as we enter the sanctuary? Lord, we're coming into your presence. Hear our prayers. Now, we don't have to have holy water or cross ourselves when we come into the doors, but this attitude of prayer that we just come in and say, Lord, bless me today, speak to me today, help me to experience you today, show me something fresh and something new today, and help me, Lord, to be willing to do what you tell me, and bless those that come. They have all these needs, they have all these problems, the others, and Lord, see to it that everyone is blessed and encouraged as we leave today, that we have experienced you and received new power. Also, this prayer, Lord, I will come to worship you and not to judge anyone or any service. If we come with a judgmental attitude and perception, we will never worship God. If you come to church mad, in a bad mood, you cannot worship God. God wants us, the Father wants you and me, to worship him in spirit and in truth, in honesty, complete honesty. That we check ourselves and say, Lord, am I here today to experience you? Take all these distractions away from me that I can focus on you. Maybe you don't like the pastor's tie. Maybe something that pray that the pastor's tie will be invisible. That it doesn't distract you. I try everything I do not to distract anyone, because it's not about me. It's about the Lord, the Heavenly Father. Years ago, if a person attended church 3 times a week, that was considered a regular church attendee. Guess what it is today? Today, regular church attendance is considered 3 times a month. What has happened? Why? We have time for everything else except this, what used to be called Sabbath rest, day of worship, which we keep on the first day of the week on Sunday, because that's when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Then we need to ask God, Lord, get our hearts right so we desire to worship you corporately, that we can experience you, and together we will then be stronger. Together we can encourage one another. May God bless his word today. Amen.